Morning. Glad to have Fred back this morning. Won't have to listen to me. Do we have all the young ones up here? Anybody want to come up? Any elementary students, preschool students want to come up? I'll give you a cookie. Yeah. 20, man, you're expensive. Let's see what I got here in my bag. Yep, I do. I even brought a little glove here, just for fun. I washed my hands earlier, but then you just know for sure. Let's see, I do have cookies. See, cookie, and you want a cookie? Get a cookie. You're preschool though. You want a cookie? Okay. You want a cookie? Yeah? Oh, that's a half cookie. Psh, I'm gonna give you a big one. I'm gonna give you a whole cookie. That's not fair. There's a ripoff in that bag. Cookie. You want a double cookie? Yeah, we all want double cookies. Cookie for you. And maybe we got some more cookies in here. Yep. Cookie for you. See, you didn't come forward. You didn't get a cookie. Oh, man. So you guys got, everybody got a cookie? Here, I brought some cookies for myself, too. The what? At the... Oh, ooh, this one's even got M&M's in it. What? Oh man, that was good stuff. Yeah. What? It's not fair that I gave you guys small cookies?
Yeah. You want the adult, so of course you get a bigger cookie.
I'm never gonna keep eating cookies up here. That was a good children's sermon right here. Yeah? Did you guys have a cookie before you came up here? No, you guys didn't have a cookie in your hand before you came up here, did you?
No.
No? But you did get one. But I got a bigger one, huh? It's not fair. It kind of makes you maybe sad. Makes you a little jealous, maybe? Oh, that might be the $10 word today.
But don't you know what happens to children every time they get too much sugar?
Yeah, I do, yeah. I give you less because you're children. Well, you know, sometimes... Yeah, sugar makes you crash hard. You know, when we see something that... When somebody else gets something better than us and bigger than us, sometimes it's easy to become jealous. We want nice things, and it's okay to want nice things, but what it's not okay is to want somebody else's nice things. And sometimes when we see somebody else getting something better than us, we get jealous. And that's something that all adults have to deal with too. That's something that's easy for us to fall into. And when we fall into that trap, we become not thankful for the things that we do have. Because when you saw me eating the big cookie, you were kind of upset, but you still got a cookie. And it's hard to be thankful for the little things in our hands, because we get so focused on other people having better stuff than us. But God wants us to be thankful for that. And King Saul, he didn't learn that lesson. King Saul, after last time we talked about King David, or we talked about David, he wasn't king yet, when he took down that giant, remember that giant silhouette that we had in here?
Yeah.
He took him down. But when we see that, David became this great warrior. And everybody's like, oh, David's this great warrior. And King Saul, they said, and King Saul, he's a warrior, you know. And they're singing songs about David, and Saul gets really jealous, and he gets really upset, and that starts causing some big problems. Because if he had just followed God and just listened to God like David, he would have been fine. But he doesn't, and it causes a lot of issues, and they become enemies. Yeah, and that's what we're going to be learning about this morning, is how to handle that jealousy, and Fred's going to be talking about it in here as well, so I'm going to turn it over to Fred.
Thank you, brother. Wait for him. I don't know if you heard Danny Martyr or not, but he was giving a lecture on what sugar does to children. But then before that, when Ben said, "Who wants a cookie?" he said, "I want a 20. I want a $20. So that's a martyr kid. I want you to open your Bible to 1 Samuel chapter 18, if you will, please. 1 Samuel chapter 18. A couple of weeks ago, we talked about David and Goliath. Today, we're going to kind of follow through with that with another message here on how Saul, King Saul, responded to all of that. So today, we're talking about misunderstanding. So follow with me as we read here verses 6 through 9, 1 Samuel chapter 18, verses 6 through 9. It says, when the men were returning home after David had killed the Philistine, the women came out from all the towns of Israel to meet King Saul with singing and dancing, with joyful songs, with tambourines and lutes. And as they danced, they sang, "Saul has slain his thousands and David his tens of thousands." Saul was very angry. This refrain galled him. "They have credited David with tens of thousands," he thought, "but me with only thousands. What more can he get but the kingdom?" And from that time on, Saul kept a jealous eye on David. Again, two Sundays ago, our lesson was about perspective, as we studied the biblical account of David and Goliath. Today, we're studying about how a misunderstanding occurred between David and King Saul as a result of David killing Goliath. When my older daughter, Shonda, was in the first grade, she had her zipper on her pants to break shortly after arriving to school that morning. And her teacher, Mrs. Hastings, sent her to the principal's office to call home to have someone to come and bring her another pair of pants. And when she called, her mom, Brenda, told her that it would be a while before anyone could come and bring her the pants, because I was out drinking coffee with some of the men from the church. And this, we had only one car at the time, and of course this was before cell phones, so I didn't know until I got home that we needed to take a pair of pants to Shonda. But when Shonda was sent back to the classroom to wait until either her mom or I got there with the pants, her teacher asked her if someone was coming. And my daughter, a preacher's kid, answered, "Well, it will be a while because my dad is out drinking with the men." I don't drink, but it was 9 o'clock in the morning. Now, talk about a misunderstanding that my wife had to clear up, and she brought the pants. How many of you, I'm just kind of curious here, how many of you have ever been misunderstood? Will you raise your hand? Okay, I expected that. Hands gone up all over the place. But how did it make you feel? Well, you're frustrated, hurt, upset, angry. I mean, few things are more difficult to live with than being misunderstood. Because when you are misunderstood, you have no defense. Have you noticed that what happens when you try to correct a misunderstanding? It usually gets worse, doesn't it? It usually gets worse. I mean, you go fully loaded, ready to set them straight. I mean, after all, you've been misunderstood. The accusations they made against you are false. They didn't fully understand what you said, what you did. And so you want to make it right, and all that you do is dig yourself deeper, and the harder you work, the worse it gets, and the deeper it hurts. Being misunderstood is a very common thing. I wish it wasn't, but it is very common, as all the hands that went up reveals. You know, as Christians, we must strive to be more understanding of others. Do you agree with that? We need to be more understanding. And when someone upsets you by something they said or did, I mean, do not react before getting all the facts. I mean, don't jump to conclusions. I mean, did the person actually say or do what you think, or did you misunderstand or assume something that wasn't true? And this was certainly the situation with David and King Saul shortly after Goliath was killed. And 1 Samuel chapter 18, we see how out of jealousy, King Saul jumps to a conclusion about David that was simply not true whatsoever. But it created such a major misunderstanding between them to the extent that Saul wanted to have David killed. And then in Psalm 130, we see David's response to the misunderstanding and learn how to deal with those who misunderstand us. So we're going to be studying 1 Samuel 18 and also Psalm 140 today. So I want us to begin by, first of all, analyzing misunderstanding. Analyzing misunderstanding. Now, there are two steps involved in misunderstanding. First, an innocent act or word or implication causes a misunderstanding. Okay? So an innocent act, word, or implication, just something gets implied, causes a misunderstanding. Second, as a result of the misunderstanding, an offense is created. So regardless of how innocent the misunderstood person is, one feels that he or she has been personally wounded and thus greatly offended by the other person. And more often than not, there is nothing that the misunderstood person can say or do to help, you know, the offended person to understand, to help them not to jump to conclusions. I mean, it was all done in innocence. But what often happens when misunderstanding occurs? Well, feelings are hurt. Tempers flare. Friendships broken. Marriages end in divorce. Children run away from home. Employees fired or quit. Christians leave the church. Preachers leave the ministry. And on it goes. I mean, misunderstanding is a real problem at home, at work, at school, and yes, even at church. And the fact is, we have all been guilty of jumping to conclusions on the basis of just tiny, tiny scraps of evidence. Well, he didn't call me, so he must not want to talk to me. The preacher didn't shake my hand today. I don't think he likes me. I waved at her and she just drove right past me. She is such a snob. Look at them whispering over there. I bet they're talking about me. And so we get these little tiny scraps of evidence and we draw false conclusions. I mean, one of the major problems that lead to misunderstanding is, of course, miscommunication. Whether it is verbal or written communication, you know, emails or text. And really, texting is the worst. I don't know how many times after I text something, I then have to go and clarify what I just text. I mean, has that happened to you too, sister? Yes. So man, it is the worst. You try to explain, you may just give them a call. Okay? Just give them a call. But I believe the majority of misunderstanding would be eliminated if we would just stop and carefully listen to what the other person says. In Proverbs chapter 18, verse 13, Solomon writes this. He said, "He who answers before listening, that is his folly and his shame." Now, I don't know if you have ever done this, and I know that you have. We all have. But when you try to, you know, straighten up something that maybe what something believes about you, and then they try to explain themselves, and while they're explaining, you're already thinking how you're going to respond before they're finished explaining. Am I right about that? I mean, Solomon says, he who answers before listening, listen to what they have to say. He says, that is shameful on you. And then James, the half-brother of Jesus, writes in James 1, 19 and 20. He says, my dear brothers, take note of this. Everyone should be quick to listen, slow to speak, and slow to become angry. For man's anger does not bring about the righteous life that God desires. Solomon says, don't answer before you listen. And James says this. Quick to listen, slow to speak, slow to anger. Say this with me. Quick to listen, slow to speak, slow to anger. If you have a problem with what someone said or did or implied, I mean, please go to that person with a loving attitude and ask for clarification and talk about it. Amen? Just talk about it. And if it's an issue that needs to be addressed, well, then deal with it. Deal with it in a Christ-like manner, but by so doing, you'll save a lot of heartache, not only for yourself, but for the other person. You will save a lot of heartache if you will just listen to what people say before jumping to conclusions. Amen? And this is what we need to do. But then secondly, I want us to take a look at illustrating misunderstanding. Again, it's from the text we just read, 1 Samuel 18, 6 through 9. Now, David was a young man who simply was misunderstood. David, a teenage shepherd, had just finished killing the giant Goliath with nothing but a slingshot. The prophet Samuel had already anointed him as the future king of Israel. Saul, the current king, was a very threatened, jealous man. And the slightest irritation created an enormous sense of insecurity for Saul. After David had slain the giant, he and Saul were coming back from the Philistine war. And as they entered, you know, the city, the women had gathered to sing a song that they had written in honor of the victory. Saul has slain his thousands and David his tens of thousands. Now, it wasn't just the 9,000 difference that bothered Saul. It was the fact that David was getting the praise that Saul wanted. And Saul misunderstood this young pipsqueak who just killed a giant innocently, just serving the Lord. So he became extremely jealous of David. And immediately he thought that David was out to get his job. Again, in verse 8 it says, they're crediting to David tens of thousands, but only thousands to me. What more does he want but my kingdom? King Saul is thinking, David is trying to take my throne. But David was set out to take the kingdom at all. I mean, he just woke up one morning and killed the giant. I mean that doesn't happen every day. And after killing the giant, you know, he was Saul's man. In fact, he became Saul's personal musician. But David wasn't out to get the throne for himself. That was by God's appointment. But Saul, seeing not only David's courage, but now his popularity, well, he misunderstood him. And then verse 9 says, and from that day onward, Saul looked at David with suspicion. Suspicion. Don't you see how misunderstanding can occur? I mean, an innocent and courageous act was incorrectly interpreted to that. So that was so deep in Saul's heart that he was convicted that David was out to take over his kingdom, to make himself king. And that was the farthest thing that David's mind. In fact, David was loyal. He was loyal to the king. Even when King Saul tried to end his life, David was loyal to his king. But then finally, number three, I want us to see how to overcome misunderstanding, overcoming misunderstanding. Now, so I want you to turn your Bible over to Psalm 140, if you will, please. 140. Many Old Testament scholars believe that David's Psalm 140 was written as a result of the events that occurred in 1 Samuel chapter 18. And as David writes this psalm, he's on the run for his life from King Saul because of the king's jealousy. And in this psalm, David seems to help his readers understand how misunderstanding works, understanding misunderstanding, to help us to understand how misunderstanding works and gives us a much needed wisdom to lean upon the next time we are misunderstood. So I want us to take a look here. That first of all, David in this psalm presents a threefold pattern of the development of misunderstanding. So follow with me as I read this psalm, Psalm 140, verses 1 through 5. David writes, "Rescue me, O Lord, from evil men." Now remember, keep in mind that this was probably written during the time that Saul is out to kill him, out of jealousy because of this misunderstanding. And so David said, "Rescue me, O Lord, from evil men. Protect me from men of violence who devise evil plans in their hearts and stir up war every day." I mean, they make their tongues as sharp as a serpent's. The poison of vipers is on their lips. "Keep me, O Lord, from the hands of the wicked. Protect me from the men of violence who plan to trip my feet. Proud men have hidden a snare for me. They have spread out the cords of their net and have set traps for me along my path." Now again, there's a threefold pattern of the development of misunderstanding. First one is this. It is vulnerability. Okay? Vulnerability. Verses 1 and 4. I mean, here we see a sense of helplessness from David. I mean, David cries out in these two verses. He says, "Rescue me, O Lord. Protect me. Keep me, O Lord." I mean, if you've ever been the victim of misunderstanding, you understand the utter helplessness that David felt. I mean, you're taken completely off guard. I mean, someone accuses you of something of which you are innocent, and you try to explain that this is simply a misunderstanding. There's a misunderstanding here. But you just make things worse. And that person is convinced that you are guilty, and there is nothing that you can say to convince him or her otherwise. And this was exactly the agony that David was experiencing. I mean, he had nothing but high regard for his king, but Saul was out to kill him all because of a misunderstanding. But then secondly, there is gossip. Yeah. Verse 3, gossip. David says that they make their tongues as sharp as serpents. The poison of vipers is on their lips. You see, people not only entertain misunderstanding in their hearts, but they share it and they speak it aloud. After a misunderstanding, there are those who go to someone else, you know, who, you know, usually knows both parties, and they gossip about what they believe to be true of that innocent person, that innocent party. And then the one who they gossip about begins to punctuate that person that you tell the gossip to, begins to punctuate it by saying, "Oh, I never knew that. But you know, it makes sense. And you know what else? You know what else he did? You know what else she did? You know what else I heard?" You know, and on it goes. I mean, just to make it a bit more juicy, they'll add a little here, stretch it a tad there, you know, to make the story really sing. And before long, they're just loving it. Just sharing the gossip, sharing the rumors, telling the lies. And meanwhile, the person who was misunderstood is sitting at home praying, "Oh God, what are they saying about me now? What are they telling others about me now? What are they saying?" I mean, David knew all about the lies, the poison that was being spread about him. But then thirdly, not only is their vulnerability, that I just feel so helpless, not only is there gossip, but thirdly, there's revenge. Verses 2 and 5, revenge. Saul's misunderstanding started out with jealousy. And then it led to him plotting to kill David. You know, I don't think misunderstanding, you know, leads to murder in most cases. But I do believe misunderstanding often leads to one wanting to hurt another person in some way. A co-worker plots to get you fired. A sibling tries to get you in trouble with a parent. Your spouse gives you the silent treatment. A friend trashes you on social media. And on it goes. In verse 2, David said, they devise evil plans in their hearts. You know, when you are the object of a misunderstanding, you can see how the person who starts with just a slight misunderstanding gradually builds it up to the place where he or she begins to believe out and out lies about you. And when we choose to misunderstand, we fuel the fire of vengeance. And all we can think about now is, how do I get even? How do I get even? But the way that David dealt with misunderstanding was simply to turn it over to God. Let's read on to verse 6. Look at verse 6 of Psalm 140. David says, O Lord, I say to you, you are my God. Hear, O Lord, my cry for mercy. I mean, David has just poured out his heart to God. He's told God, God, I have these enemies out here who are trying to destroy me. They're trying to kill me. And David realizes that there's nothing that he has done wrong. He just went out and did what God wanted him to do. And King Saul has blown it completely out of proportion. But what do we do when misunderstood? Well, again, first of all, we try to explain ourselves. And if that doesn't work, which often is the case, sometimes what happens is we become angry. And we might even try to hurt the person in some way because we're going to try to get even. But what did David do? He just gave it to God. I mean, David is praying, you are my God. I depend on you. You are my strength and my salvation. Do not allow my enemies to defeat me. I mean, when misunderstood, when falsely accused of something you didn't do, turn it over to God. Amen? Give it to God and just let Him find the solution. Let Him find the solution. You know, and as you read David's dealing with King David throughout the book of 1 Samuel, I mean, one thing that David did not do was to seek retaliation. Not once. Was he going to seek retaliation? David never did take out revenge on King Saul, even though he had many opportunities to have him killed. At least twice that we know of in Scripture that he could have ended Saul's life and got away with it, but he doesn't do it. He does not kill Saul. Instead, he continued to honor Saul. He continued to honor him and respect him as his king. And neither are we to take revenge out on those who misunderstand us. Now, certainly, we are to try to correct. We can try to correct the misunderstanding and try to get the truth out. I mean, there are those who will finally, there are those, few, rare, but there are those who will listen and say, oh, okay, I am so sorry. I just completely misunderstood what you said. And so, yes, I think we need to try to get the truth out, but never take revenge out on another. I mean, let me tell you, the one who coexists with misunderstanding and bitterness is a miserable person. They are miserable people. But when you give the situation over to God, Lord, I am defenseless. I am innocent, but they'll never believe me. You take over. I believe when you give it to God, God will perform the most unbelievable feats as He glorifies His name in your life. I mean, that's His specialty. That's what He does best. You know, misunderstanding occurs all the time. We have all been misunderstood, every one of us. And we cannot control that, but we can control how we react to be misunderstood. On the other hand, when it comes to being the one who misunderstands, well, we do have greater control over that situation. Have you ever been hurt by someone who misunderstood you? I saw a lot of hands go up a while ago. And I think that we have all been hurt by someone who misunderstood us. And no matter what you said or did, that person was not going to believe you. I mean, you said you were misunderstood, but it did not matter whatsoever. I want you to think about that the next time someone comes to you and you have misunderstood them, and they tell you, that is not true, I did not say that, I did not do that, you misunderstood. When someone comes to you and say, you misunderstood, then stop what you're doing and say, oh, maybe I did. Can you please explain again what happened? And really listen this time and to clear up whatever that accusation might be that you made against that person, let them defend themselves and get the truth out and then go from there. Amen? That's how we do that. So let me just ask you this question. I just want to know how do you handle misunderstanding? I don't know what I just broke. I broke something. I don't know. How do you handle being misunderstood? Well, as I said, what often happens is that we try to explain ourselves, and then maybe sometimes we try to hurt others. But yet we got to realize that the way when we are misunderstood, we turn this over to God and seek God's counsel. And maybe we need even to seek counsel of others. I mean, the Bible tells us that there are times that we need to bring mediators in and be able to talk these things through and to listen to both sides. Someone who is objective and be able to listen to both sides and try to clear it up from there. But we certainly are not to take out revenge. But you know, when we talk about being misunderstood and being the person who misunderstands, well, I have been both. Have you been both? I mean, there are times that I just simply, was misunderstood somebody, and man, I let them know. Have you done that? I let them know. And there's been other times that I was accused of something that was not true. And so I know what it's like to be on both ends of that. And I think most of us know what it's like to be on both ends of that. And so we need to be more aware of that in our lives. We need to be more aware of how we relate to others, how we listen to others, how we communicate with others, and do this in a godly way. Yes, if there are things that we need to address with another person, then you go to them in love, the Bible tells us. You go to them in love, and you bring it out, but you listen. You listen to what is said, so we can eliminate a lot of the misunderstanding that takes place between us, and usually between us and people that we truly love. And now the barrier, it comes between us. And the strain is there. We're going to be singing the invitation song. During this invitation song is an opportunity for you to look within your own life and put yourself in the shoes of David and what that must have been like for David. And knowing to try to explain himself, trying to deal with this and all these things that he's trying to do and yet just simply being misunderstood. We need to put ourselves in the shoes of those people because we've been in those shoes. We've been in those shoes. But let's not forget to turn it over to God. If you're here this morning, if we can pray for you for any reason, if it's regarding being misunderstood, if it's talking about some relationships, difficulties you're going through, if it's dealing with sin in your life, Whatever it is, we want to know. We want to pray with you. We want to help you this morning. Whatever the concern is. I mean, whether it's emotional, spiritual, physical, whatever it is, we want to be here for you this morning. Whatever that need is. So will you please come? Give us that opportunity for us as a church to pray for you as together we stand and we sing.